Well, around the world today, people are pausing to celebrate what has been called Christmas. And the truth is that no one knows the exact day when Jesus was born. In fact, the only birthday celebration that Jesus would have known during his entire lifetime would have been that celebration on the night that he was born. In ancient times, birthdays were not celebrated. In fact, throughout most of world history and most cultures, people didn't always even know the exact day when they were born. Many people today living don't even know exactly how old they are. The birthday phenomenon is something of relatively recent times, something that we do here in America. The only gifts that Jesus ever would have received that we could even remotely term as birthday gifts would have been those gifts brought by the wise men, and they were late. Now, many of you have already opened gifts you've had for one another, or you'll be opening gifts later today. And some of you at this point are near exhaustion because you have been involved in the ordeal of fighting the crowds in order to get all your last-minute gift purchases taken care of. Gifts for children and gifts for parents and gifts for grandparents and uncles and aunts and cousins and teachers. And the list goes on and on. Special friends. I can remember a time in my life when I eagerly surveyed the gifts, looking for the tags that had my name on them. I think I have finally reached that stage in life where I understand the truth of what Jesus said when he expressed it that way. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I just wonder, even among this group here, how many gifts will be exchanged this year? How many gifts worldwide will be exchanged this year? And why is there something that is almost magical, especially in those early years, about gift giving and gift exchanging? I can't help but believe that it has something to do with what God has placed within each and every human heart. This love of giving and receiving. Have you ever noticed in Scripture how frequently what God does for us is described as a gift that He's given to us? Josh just read that passage out of James chapter 1. Every good and perfect gift is from above. How many gifts has God given you that were good and perfect gifts? Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Acts chapter 2, that famous sermon where Peter told the gathered crowd that they needed to repent and be baptized, every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, God has asked us to respond in gratitude and in love to Him by giving gifts to one another and gifts to Him. And so we read that same word used for not only what He does for us, but for what we do in return. In Acts 11, it says the disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. They did this, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. And again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul describes what we do for one another in terms of a gift. He said, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift and not one grudgingly given. Now today, as Christians, we stand in a long line of givers of gifts to the Lord in response to the gift that He has given us. It began with the wise men's gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh that they lay before the child there in the manger. But we saw other gifts as we read through the New Testament. Some didn't have very much to offer at all. One woman wept at the feet of Jesus and washed His feet with her tears and dried His feet with her hair. Jesus pointed out another one who dropped in her two mites, and Jesus memorialized her by saying she's given more than all the others who've given. Others were extravagant. There was Mary who took that costly alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume and emptied it on Jesus out of gratitude. This church, right here at Sunset, has been involved in gift giving to the Lord throughout this year, 2016. And through generous gifts given by folks here in a variety of ways, not all monetary gifts, gifts of service, gifts of time, gifts of talent. Through all of this, missionaries have been sent. The hungry have been fed. Families in crisis have been served. Classes have been taught. Sermons have been preached. The sick have been ministered to. And the list just goes on and on. All because of those whose hearts prompted them to give generously. But in all of history, in the millions of gifts that have been exchanged and given, there is one gift that rises in value far above every other gift ever given. And today, around the world, there's something a little bit different because the world pauses. There today are actually wars that for one day will cease. Soldiers will lay down their weapons. And around the world, there will be untold numbers that at least for a few moments today will actually give attention to the events recorded in the New Testament of God's entry into our world in the town of Bethlehem there in that manger. And I appreciate, Bruce, what you said this morning. It's not that one event that we focus on as followers of Jesus. In fact, what happened in the manger is not why you're here today. You are here today not because of what happened at the beginning of that miraculous life, but because of what happened at the end of His life. Had Jesus not been raised from the dead, His birth would have been no different than the thousands of births that took place in Jewish families in the first century. Had it not been for the resurrection, there would be no Christianity today. No one would even gather to worship God on the first day of the week. The Apostle Paul said it like this, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." But He was raised. And today He is alive and will live for all of eternity. And so today, because of that life in its entirety, His coming into the world, His giving of Himself, His death on the cross, His substitution in my place and yours, and His resurrection, because of that entire life, we are able to open and to cherish the most precious gift that has ever been given in all of history. in that famous, unforgettable passage, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." It doesn't say God loved the world and gave His Son. It says He so loved the world. There's not a person here that God would not say of you, "I loved you so much that I gave you my Son." The amazing entrance of God into this world, Emmanuel, God with us, God coming down and taking on the form of human flesh, of a little baby there in the manger, that does, as we contemplate that truth, make us fall on our knees in the words of that beautiful song, "O Holy Night." But the Jesus we worship today is not a babe in a manger. He's not there anymore. He outgrew that. He's far too big for a manger. Today He is the living Lord and Savior of this world. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And He calls to everyone who will hear Him across 2,000 years. And He offers a gift. It's better than any gift that you'll be opening today. He offers a gift that is specifically for you. It has your name on it. I was 13 years of age when I first opened my gift from the Lord. It was the gift of salvation. And through the years, I have come to appreciate it more than I ever knew how to appreciate it there at the beginning. I've come to marvel at that gift in ways that I never really was able to marvel in my younger years. It's not the kind of gift that we open and thank the giver for and then put it on the shelf only to forget it. It's one that we open anew with fresh wonder every time we examine it, every time we stop and reflect on it. And it's the gift that Jesus stands ready to give again and again. And at this very moment, Jesus stands at the door of every heart gathered here. And He stands lovingly and often patiently. And He knocks on that door because He has to wait until we invite Him in. He won't push His way in. But when we invite Him in, He longs to give us that gift. And like me, some of you took that step of faith, and it was years ago, as you turned from your sins and confessed Him and went through the waters of baptism and allowed Him to make you His child. But for too many, it may have been too long since you re-examined that gift and realized its true value. What a shame to ever neglect such a great gift. And what a tragedy to leave that gift given from God with your name on it, to leave it unopened. You know, most of the gifts that I receive are not remembered long. I'm very grateful they're given to me in love by people that I cherish. But if you ask me what I received for Christmas 10 years ago, I couldn't even tell you. I'd have a hard time telling you what I received last year for Christmas. But there is one gift that has endured. In 10,000 years from today, I will still be cherishing the gift that God has given me, the gift of Jesus. This morning, if you've never opened that gift, we can assist you as you respond in faith and obey Him. If you've neglected that gift, pause and reflect and wonder at what it means that God has given you His Son. If you need to come, we invite you to do that this morning as we stand and sing.